In Psalm chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, the scripture says, "Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and His anointed, saying, 'Let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us.'" Persecution is no, or the man of God is no stranger to persecution. He has felt the stress and the pain of hostility and ill treatment since the days of Cain and Abel. Our wretched species is so made that those who walk on the well-trodden path always throw stones at those who are showing a new road. Numerous biblical examples are given to us to teach and encourage the oppressed Christian how to live a life that is considered by some to be scandalous. Israel, captive in Egypt and Babylon, Jesus and His disciples on that 3-year ministry on this earth, the prophets, Stephen being stoned to death, Peter and John, just a few to remind us of the hatred and the unjust treatment that can come by following God. First century Christians were scattered by the havoc of Saul in Acts chapter 8. And later, we from history learn that that Christians were dressed in animal skins, and dogs were turned loose upon them, and they were torn apart as persecution. Domitian, who was a gentleman who ruled over Rome at one time, is recorded to have killed his own family members just because he assumed them to be Christians. Tertullian, who also ruled in Rome at one time, said this, "If the Tiber rises too high, or the Nile too low, the remedy is always feeding Christians to the lions." We laugh at that comment, but our brothers and sisters were actually going through this for the sake of Jesus Christ. If you live in such a manner as to stand the test of the last judgment, you can depend upon it that the world will not speak well of you. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12, "Don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you." Brethren, we have to expect persecution. It's not unusual. And if we are not receiving some sort of ridicule for our beliefs, we're probably doing something wrong. Jesus said persecution will come. And it will. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, the text tells us that all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. It doesn't say might. It says will suffer persecution. Now, all this that I've said so far is nothing new to us, is it? We've heard the stories, haven't we? We know about the past persecution that has taken place. We've heard about the present persecution that is taking place in our nation and in our world. The beheadings, we've heard about those, right? For those that claim to be followers of God. The forcing of people off of cliffs because they say that they are Christians. The suing for not accepting the diversity of our society. And the jailings, just because you say that you are a Christian. Our own society and government is changing, isn't it? And we recognize the inevitable. Persecution is coming for those who profess to follow after Christ. My question for you, though, is this. Are you ready for persecution? Are you prepared to face the challenges that may come upon us in the near future? Are you donning your spiritual honor or armor that will give you the knowledge, the faith, the protection, and the boldness to withstand the fiery darts of the devil? It's time for boldness to get a makeover, because the Word of God tells us that it is good to be bold. Boldness can be risky business, though, but only if we do it on our own. Proverbs, the 28th chapter, in the first verse says that the righteous are bold as a lion. Bold as a lion. No fear in him. He is bold all the time. The way to be bold during the persecutions that come upon us is to be bold now in our own Christian lives. So this morning I'd like for us to consider three things about boldness: the where, the what, and the when. The where of boldness, the what of boldness, and the when of boldness. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. No, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Where does boldness come from? The where of it is in Jesus Christ. Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to look at verses 11 and 12. When we think about where does our boldness come from, Paul is teaching about how all things come from Jesus Christ in this text. And he says in verses 11 and 12, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Christ Jesus is the root of boldness in our life. He is where we are going to find boldness, and only in him can we have boldness that enables us to withstand the trials of life. Boldness comes through our confidence in him. Jesus gave us the ability, as Hebrew tells us, to boldly approach the throne of grace, right? And boldly enter into the holiness, holiest of places, to come before God. So do we trust him to supply us with boldness to combat the issues of life? Many of us are neglecting that great gift that God has given us to use his Son for that power. Hebrews 10:35 tells us not to cast away our confidence, which has great reward. And a great example of this is found in Mark chapter 3. This is the instance where Jesus goes back into his own country, the scripture says, back into Nazareth. And the people say there, is this not the carpenter's son? Is this not the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And it says in the text there that they were offended by him. They were offended by him. They didn't want anything to do with him. And sometimes we get that way in our lives. We start relying upon me. We start relying upon other things around us to give us confidence, to give us strength, education, maybe our career, maybe our abilities, both physically and mentally. But we don't rely upon our spiritual blessings, such as Jesus Christ. We come offended by him, and so we cast him away. And that's what they did here in Nazareth. I don't want anything to do with him. And it says because they did this, later on in the scripture there in verse 5, it says there that because of this, he, or Jesus, could do no mighty work there. Brethren, if we're not allowing Jesus Christ to be the strength of our boldness, if we are casting him away, he can do no great work there within our lives to help us become bold. Has Jesus just become an everyday Joe to us? Is he just an icon in our lives that we tend to look upon only when we need him? Jonathan Fincher said this. This is a quote from this individual. In 30 years from now, I don't know when this was written, but in 30 years from now, Christians will have baptized their picture of Christ. He won't be a nice, banal, meek, and bearded man with softly permed hair. Instead, he will fill our imaginations more solidly, more invasively, more unexpectedly. Christ will become that man who changes people. Someone who jumps off of the bumper stickers and the mediocre praise songs that we sing and into our lives. The where of boldness is in Jesus Christ. We just have to go get it. When David stood before Goliath, he knew where his boldness came from. Because he said, "You come to me with javelin, sword, and spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled." David knew where his power came from, and his strength, and his boldness. We know too. It's only in Christ Jesus. It's just a matter of us grasping a hold of it. When God tells us that he has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, there's no doubt only one place that can come from: our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41, God speaks to the people through this prophet about the importance of leaning upon him. And he says in verse 10, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you, and with my righteous hand." God is where we go. Christ is where we go to be strengthened. That is where we go to get our strength and our boldness. I am with you. I am your God. I will help you. I will uphold you. All the things of this earth will fade away, but God will always be there to help us in our time of need. In Proverbs chapter 3, Solomon tells us of the importance of understanding the knowledge of the Lord. And he says there in verse 26, "For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught." Understanding our Lord and Savior is where we build confidence and we have boldness. Boldness to overcome those persecutions that are inevitable, and boldness to approach those who may be afflicting you in some way. So we know where to go to get boldness. But what are you doing to become bolder? The where is Jesus. The what is the action. Boldness comes from Christ, but it takes action on our part to become bolder. What are you doing to gain that? Often we are ridiculed by our coworkers, our friends, our neighbors, or family members when we talk about Christ Jesus. We usually respond by hiding our Christianity. We kind of get underneath our shell. when the going gets tough. I'm guilty of it. And I think we all are at certain times. Why is this? Because it's hard to discuss something that you don't know anything about. It's hard to discuss something that we don't have much knowledge about. I'm guilty of it. I think we all are. Lacking knowledge about our Savior and about our God, and being bold to be able to stand up and speak about it. So an action that I think that we need to obtain is gaining knowledge. Gaining knowledge. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 12, in verses 43 through 45. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. And then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, put in order. And he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. So shall it be with this wicked generation. When we neglect to fill our hearts with the knowledge of the Lord, we are like this house that has been swept clean. It's sitting there empty, waiting. And that spirit comes back and fills us with something. Something besides the knowledge of our Savior. Do we feel ashamed for not being able to give a defense when the questioning of our hope takes place? Peter speaks of the importance of this. Be ready so that you can give that defense. One of my most embarrassing, and if you know me, I don't embarrass very easily. You can do a lot to me, and I don't blush. But one of my most embarrassing times in my life has been when a man of another faith was able to outquote, was able to outthink, and plain right outdo me when we were in a spiritual discussion. I walked away from that discussion feeling sick because I was not able to stand up for what I believed. I was not able to refute the wrong teaching that this guy had because of my lack of knowledge. Oh. It's time to pair action with knowledge. It's time to get those two going together. When we gain knowledge, we build confidence. And when we have that confidence, we have the ability to overcome hesitation. We no longer will hide underneath that shell. We no longer will not pursue, but we will be bold to speak. Now, when you set goals in your life, and just like anybody that does set goals, you want to pursue them. So don't just set some goals about overcoming the lack of boldness. But rather, let's set some goals to fill our house. Because if we leave it swept and empty, it will be filled with something at some point. But what it is filled with is the question at hand. The tiniest of action is always better than the boldest of intentions. So a little bit of action is going to be better than all the planning that you can do. Because you are starting to progress. You are starting to change. Your plans and goals don't scare the devil one bit. But your courage to pursue your plans and pursue your goals will keep him on the run. Be bold to make it happen. Be ready to make it happen. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, Peter and John were approaching the Sanhedrin. Acts 4 and 13 says, Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. They saw this uniqueness in Peter and John. Here's a couple of guys that are just uneducated untrained men. Yet they had the boldness to stand up and speak about this man Jesus. So the Sanhedrin realized the Scripture says that they had been with Jesus. They saw that they had a relationship, that they had gained strength, and they knew Him. And because of that, they were able to be like Him. Have you been with Jesus lately? Have you gained some understanding about Him? Have you got some knowledge about Him? Psalm chapter 1 says, "Blessed is the man," teach the kids this verse at home, "who walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates on it day and night." I was recently convicted by a lesson that I heard. To get into the books of the Bible that I have not spent much time in, or any time in. And this is what I can do personally to gain more boldness or become bolder. Well, verse 2 of chapter 1 of Psalms says that he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Picture this tree then. Tall, lush, huge trunk, deep roots, and healthy from always feeding on the nutrients of the water that is given to him. This is a picture of us when we meditate upon the words of the Lord day and night. I don't want us to be green and lush, but the point is we're healthy spiritually. We have the capability and the ability to know Him. Always feeding on that rich nutrients that is there for us. That tree is capable of withstanding the winds of the storms and those things that rage around it. But most importantly, it says in the text that it brings forth fruit in its season. When we meditate on the words of the Lord, there's fruit there. There's strength that is gained. There's confidence that comes from it. And in the end, we are more bold. Dwight L. Moody said, "When you find a man meditating on the words of God, my friends, that man is full of boldness and successful." One thing that you can do to become bolder is to become more knowledgeable. We are limited by knowledge, not by courage. How else can we become bolder? I think it's time that we rediscover who we are. Who are you? Have you ever got up in the morning and looked in the mirror and cocked your head and said, "Who are you? You've changed. You don't look like you did at one time. You look different. You act different. You are different. Who are you?" Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 11. Ephesians 5, 8 through 11 says, "For you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." You know, I used to be afraid of the dark. But when I realize that I am the light and the dark is afraid of me, then I have boldness. Who are you? Who are you in Christ Jesus? It's time to think about that. Don't forget who you are. Here's some of the descriptive terms given to us that are found in the Bible. Of course, the light. I'm also the salt. I'm a child. I'm a priest. I am a soldier. A servant. Sheep. Sons. Vessels for honor. And witnesses. Just a few of the terms that are given to us. All different types of characteristics that we have. Understand who you are. Understand your strengths. Understand your weaknesses. You know what? We may be stronger servants than we are stronger salt. All of us have different capabilities, abilities, and talents. So evaluate who you are in Christ Jesus. And when you find what you are best at, you focus on that and become stronger in that. And that will give you the ability to build confidence toward boldness. People who choose to be bold are inspiring. Not because they get big things accomplished, but rather because they instigate growth, progress, and movement for themselves and others around them. So if you have found that one thing that you are good at, maybe you're a good sheep, a good follower, and you have the ability to help someone else become a good follower of Christ Jesus, what great things you can accomplish through that. Confidence and boldness comes. Pick your strong point. Build upon it so that you can use it in your time of adversity. So we know where to get boldness. We know a couple things to do to try to gain boldness. So when are you going to start to become bolder? Back in Ephesians chapter 5, I'd like us to look at verse 17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. God has a will for us. He has an expectation for us. And he says in verses 15 and 16, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but be wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. The will of the Lord is that we use our time wisely here on earth. When are we going to be bold? When are we going to start? We better be redeeming the time. That's what God expects of us. Use our time wisely while we're on this earth. I'm guilty of not doing this. I am lazy. I am stubborn. I am hard-headed. I am disobedient. I am focused on so many things except what I should be focused on that keeps me from becoming bolder and more spiritual. Whatever you can do, whatever you can dream, you can do it, but you have to begin it. You just can't let it sit there. If you've been thinking about starting a Bible study with that friend, do it. If you need to stand up and speak out against the language or the humor in your workplace, do it. Be bold. Confidence is what we get. When we take fear, we face it, and we replace it. Take fear, face it, and replace it. Confidence will come. Peter and John in Acts 4 and verse 29 prayed this. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness we may speak your words. In conclusion, Christianity is anything but safe. Jesus made it clear that trouble and persecution stood in the future for his followers. Boldness comes from confidence in Christ Jesus and building our knowledge base of him and his word. Boldness is knowing who we are and what we can do. Being bold is having the courage to speak out against what is wrong, no matter what others think and say. It's doing God's will and continuing on the path that He put before you, regardless of the hardship you may face. And when you are bold, you know that God is always with you and on your side. So there's never a reason to fear. Psalm chapter 27 and verse 14 says, "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart." I say, wait on the Lord. Brethren, I hope you've been encouraged to consider how you are either bold or need to gain boldness, because persecution will come. And at that time, we will either stand up for what our Lord wants us to stand up for, or we will hide and not say a thing. Well, if you're here this morning without Christ Jesus in your life, there's no way that you can be bold. If you need Him, please make that known. Or if you want help in overcoming your lack of boldness, please let that be known too as we sing the song of encouragement.